Hello, my name is Joe Schwartz, and I would like to take a moment to tell you about my podcast. It's called Still Unknown, and it's a podcast dealing exclusively with unsolved murders, disappearances, unexplained deaths, and other unsolved mysteries. If you are a fan of the classic TV show Unsolved Mysteries, then you'll definitely want to check out my podcast, as many episodes deal with cases featured on the show that still need answers. So look for Still Unknown on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening to this podcast here. And let's solve some mysteries together.
Welcome to Forensic Miles. My name is Miles.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Sean.
Forensic Miles is the unofficial companion podcast to the cult favorite show, Forensic Files. You've seen the show, you know the crime, but is there more to the story? Let's find out. Today we're going to be covering the episode Three's a Crowd, which is the murder of Susan Fassett. Sean, are you ready to get right into it?
I'm already interested. Three's a Crowd?
Yep.
Sounds
good. Already know where this one's going. All right, let's just hop right on. On the night of October 28th, 1999, at around 9 p.m., Susan Fassett made her way to her parked car after choir practice at the Pleasant Valley Church in Poughkeepsie, New York. It's kind of a fun word to say. Poughkeepsie.
Yeah.
It's also spelled cool. Poughkeepsie.
That just sounds like it's a small little town.
Yep, it is. She gets into her car, places her belongings on the passenger seat, reaches to put her seatbelt on, and right there, in the middle of the parking lot, Susan is fatally shot 5 times. Susan was a 48-year-old mother of 2 teenage boys. She was tall and blonde and beautiful, and she ran the personnel department for the town of Poughkeepsie. Her husband, Jeff Fassett, also worked for the town of Poughkeepsie as a police officer. From the outside, Susan looked like a hardworking mother with a passion for her church choir. But we all know that people keep secrets, and Susan was no exception. The secrets that she kept would ultimately lead to her death. Obviously, like with every other murder of a wife, the husband was the first to be looked at. Police immediately suspected that Jeff was the killer. They headed to his house, and they basically surround it. There are tons of police officers armed to the T surrounding his house. Jeff notices the police and he's watching them, watching him, and he has absolutely no idea what's going on. Keep in mind that at this point, neither Jeff nor his sons have any idea what happened to Susan.
I think that's definitely kind of weird that they just like pull up on him right away.
I agree.
And don't, like, especially because he is a police officer. Why don't they just, like, call him and be like, hey, can you come down to the police department?
Right. I mean, I agree that it's really weird. And honestly, the way that he reacted is almost maybe stranger than the fact that they sent the police to his house. Now, this part really confuses me because, like I said before, and like you said, Jeff was a police officer, so I would think that he would know how to maneuver a situation like this, but his actions kind of solidify the police's idea that he was in fact involved in this crime. Instead of going out and asking the officers what was going on, or even like you said, giving them a phone call, Jeff and his sons refuse to leave the house. They turn off the lights and basically barricade themselves in the home. From the police perspective, this looks like a clear guilty action. They fear that if Jeff was involved, he might be trying to kill his sons and then ultimately kill himself.
Yeah.
But from Jeff and his son's perspective, they have absolutely no idea what's going on at all. They're extremely confused. Eventually, one of the sons decides to call the church and discover that his mom was shot. Finally, after an intense 2 hours, Jeff and his sons surrender and step outside. They were immediately arrested on the spot.
The sons were, too?
The sons were also arrested. I mean, they were bare... Nobody had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, that just sounds like a...
mess.
Yeah.
On the night of the murder, Jeff was home from work, watching TV with his two sons. He left the house at some point that night, around the time of the murder, to pick up something from the station. I think that they said that it was his check, but I'm not 100% sure. Jeff denied any part in the murder, but he really didn't have a strong alibi. And it turns out everything in the marriage wasn't fine and dandy. Jeff had recently found out that Susan had been having a long-term affair. I'm talking 3 years.
Wow.
However, even with the weak alibi and a motive, the affair, Jeff didn't really seem like a great fit for the crime. There wasn't really anything to indicate that he would do this. Like, he hadn't snapped. It didn't seem like he had snapped. And he and Susan had decided that they were going to work on their relationship and start completely fresh. They even went so far as to get rid of their wedding bands and order new ones. He didn't have a gun that matched the one used to kill Susan, and this murder definitely felt like it was planned. Like somebody was sitting out there waiting for her to come out of choir practice. It didn't seem like something that he would do.
Yeah. Somebody definitely knew her schedule and was planning this out for quite some time.
Exactly. And Jeff would obviously know all of this information, but he also knew that they were going to question him no matter what. He was the husband, and he basically told them, look, do whatever you want to me, interrogate me, put me under piercingly hot lights, but when you're finished with me, go and check out Fred Ambrose. And, you know, police were intrigued. They listened to Jeff, and they started their search into Fred. Fred ran the water department in the town of Poughkeepsie. He also happened to be the man that Susan had been having her 3-year affair with. He also was known to be an absolute and utter asshole, as well as playboy. He had a lot of women.
For whatever reason, I feel like those two things usually go hand in hand with each other.
Yeah, I can see it, but not you, Sean. He had been married multiple times and, as we'll soon discover, had multiple affairs. He also drove around in his car, which had vanity plates that said, quote-unquote, Freddy, spelled F-R-E-D-E-E. Yep. A real stand-up guy right there. One of the investigators in the Forensic Files episode described him as a, quote, self-centered, mean, nasty prick, unquote. I think that covers it.
Sounds about right so far.
Susan and Fred had presumably met at work and began their affair shortly after. Fred was also married at this point. Susan even had two cell phones, one to communicate with her family and the other to communicate with Fred. Fred denied any involvement in the case, and he actually had a pretty solid alibi. He was at home with his wife, and they had friends over for dinner. A police officer friend. You can't get a more solid alibi than that.
Pretty convenient.
But we've heard this before. We've covered a case that had this exact same scenario, but it was the FBI agent.
Yeah, it was the son.
Yep. Anywho. Fred wasn't just an asshole. He also had some issues of his own. On May 27th, 1999, Fred pled guilty to conspiracy and admitted that he had been extorting money from the water department. He ended up quitting his job the night before he testified. And this whole case is a completely different situation that has some rabbit holes because I think there was a murder in this case. A whole bunch of weird stuff was happening, and he was involved with it, and he was guilty. During the questioning of Susan's murder, Fred admitted that he knew that Susan had been killed, and he had no idea who would have done it to her. He basically indicated that he felt deep love for her and she was a wonderful woman and he would have no clue why somebody would kill her. But it was strange to them that he had already known about her murder because it was within 6 hours.
Yeah, that is odd.
And I think he claimed that he was told about the murder from an FBI agent who he was working with in this other case because he was going to testify against somebody in this other case. So he had worked out a deal with them. Things kind of went back and forth for a few months. Fred would tell a story and then come back and tell a completely different one. Like once he was asked whether or not he had a cell phone and he responded that he didn't. Later he confirmed that he actually had 2 cell phones. So he wasn't really giving anybody a straightforward story.
I mean, he didn't lie about the question.
No.
He just wasn't fully truthful.
That's just an annoying response. But there was a biggie. When the ME did the autopsy, they discovered semen, indicating that Susan had been sexually active within 48 hours of her death. The semen was compared to Jeff's, and it did not match. When asked if he had had sex with Susan in the days before her death, Fred said that he had not. He even came up with this elaborate tale about how he was impotent because of some medication he was taking. He also refused to provide his DNA. However, police knew he was lying because they knew for a fact that Fred would frequently pick up sex workers in this time frame. Investigators knew that they needed to get Fred's DNA, so they decided to get a little bit creative. They basically called Fred and said that they were going to bring him a burger and fries and they were just going to chat. When they got to Fred's house, they pulled up in the car and Fred came and sat in the car with this investigator. And they started to have a little conversation. Investigators thought that he would immediately just start sipping on his drink like we all do when we're handed, you know, a nice fresh Coca-Cola
when it's
hot outside. Yeah. But Fred doesn't. He doesn't touch the drink. He doesn't touch the food. He doesn't touch anything. So the investigator gets this idea and he starts to turn up the heat in the car. It's already a hot day. The windows are already up and he just kind of turns on the heat just a little bit. And eventually Fred takes a sip of that drink and they end up getting his DNA. All this to say that his DNA was a match to the semen found at the crime scene.
The old sweating them out trick.
Yep. And this proved that he was, in fact, the person that had sex with Susan in the days before she died. On December 21st, things really start to change in the investigation and the conversations that they're having with Ambrose. After admitting that he had had sex with Susan, he was asked who he thought killed her. He initially stated her husband, Jeff. Then he said he thought it could be this guy, William Paroli Sr., who was involved in that conspiracy case. And Susan, I've seen it both ways. Susan may or may not have been kind of questioned about that case, but I'm not 100% sure about that. Anyway, he tries to say that it's this guy, William Paroli Sr. And then he said that he thought it could be this woman named Doreen or Darlene. He wasn't really sure. But he thought it was one of the two. Finally, Andrew admitted that he did know who killed Susan, and it was a woman named Dawn Silvernail. And this is where the case gets very interesting. Dawn, who was 50 at the time, was a local woman who had been having an affair with Fred for almost 20 years. We're talking long-term affair. Supposedly, he would also offer her up to friends of his. It was a very...
This seems like a weird town.
It just seemed like he had some kind of control over her, and I think that becomes clear later. It turns out that Dawn also knew Susan. In fact, the three of them had had multiple sexual encounters together. Fred admitted that he introduced Susan to Dawn after Susan had expressed interest in having a threesome. Supposedly, he had asked Dawn, and she initially turned him down, but then later accepted after being offered $300. I'm not sure. Yeah, it was either $300 or $350. Anyway, they had a total of 5 or 6 encounters, some of which happened near the water pump where Fred worked, and at least one of them was recorded by Ambrose. Fred claimed that Susan and Dawn had been carrying on an affair without him, and that the killing must be some kind of lover's quarrel, you know.
Certainly somewhat, some lover's quarrel going on, but...
But it's not between Dawn and Susan. Yeah. On December 28th, Dawn was arrested and brought in for questioning. Dawn initially denied having anything to do with the murder. She was a college-educated, upstanding citizen who worked with the disabled and had never been in trouble before. Investigators were kind of on... They weren't sure that she was involved. Maybe she wasn't, you know?
Could have just been a name that he was throwing out there to save his own butt.
He was dropping all sorts of other names. Why would this one be different? But they did have one thing that could potentially connect her to the murder. Dawn owned a .45 caliber handgun. When they went to retrieve the gun, they found that it had been tampered with, so they were unable to compare it to the bullets from the crime scene. But they got a break. They decided to ask Dawn's neighbors what they knew of Dawn and her husband, and they discovered that Dawn would often shoot her gun at trees in her backyard. They were able to recover bullets from the backyard and compared them to the ones from the crime scene. It turned out that they were a match. When faced with the evidence, Dawn finally admitted that she was involved in the killing. She said over and over again, quote, "I shot that poor woman." In the Forensic Files episode, Dawn says in her own words what happened that night. Quote, "I rolled down the window. When she reached up to fasten her seatbelt, I pulled the gun up and I fired and I shot her." Unquote. It turns out that Dawn actually had tried to kill Susan on multiple other occasions, but always backed out. She would follow Susan around. But why? Dawn denied having a relationship with Susan. She said that the two never spent any time together unless they were with Fred, and the only times they spent with Fred were those 5 or 6 occasions where they had a threesome. Dawn claimed that Fred had wanted Susan dead, and that she was manipulated into killing her. There are a few different stories, and to be honest, there isn't a super clear answer as to what Fred's motive was. Dawn claimed that Fred believed Susan knew some information about that previous case with the FBI and the extortion and the conspiracy and all, and he was under investigation for it, and supposedly he worried that she would say something to the police about this past case. And so he wanted her dead so that she wouldn't come forward with whatever information she knew, which never became clear.
Especially because, you know, their affair was ending also.
Exactly. That's the second thought. It's the affair. Susan had ended the affair in September and was genuinely trying to rebuild her relationship with her husband, Jeff. Maybe Fred wasn't ready to let her go, and it was one of those, if I can't have you, no one can situations, which seems pretty common.
Yeah.
Either way, Dawn claimed that Fred threatened her and threatened her children. Supposedly, she owed Fred money, and he said that if she killed Susan, her debts would be forgiven, and if she didn't kill Susan, her own life and her family's lives would be in danger. So, she did it.
Well, I mean, it's a tough position to be in.
Yeah. Dawn is ultimately charged with murder on the next day, which is December 29th. That day, police also pull up to Fred's home to serve a search warrant. While they're walking up to his house, they hear a gunshot. Fred had attempted suicide by shooting himself in the head. But Fred survives.
Of course he does.
Yep. Dawn pleads guilty to second-degree murder and agrees to testify against Fred. Fred is charged with second-degree murder and second-degree conspiracy. He pleads not guilty. On February 23rd, 2002, the jury finds Fred guilty of both charges, and he's sentenced to 25 years in prison. He's also sentenced to 33 months in prison for the corruption charge from before. Dawn ended up being sentenced to 18 years to life in prison since she testified against Fred. It turned out that after killing Susan, Dawn grabbed the gun and left it in a predetermined location where Fred soon came to pick it up. He altered the gun and then returned it to Dawn in a paper bag, saying that it was, quote, fish. I don't know why you would deliver fish in a paper bag anyway, but whatever. Fred didn't even make it a year. He died of an apparent heart attack in his cell on November 28th, 2002. He was 62 years old. I couldn't find much information on where Dawn is today. I think I may have found her on Facebook. If it was her, she was out of prison as of last year, 2019. One of the saddest things about this case is how Jeff and Susan were genuinely trying to repair their marriage. Remember those new rings? Jeff had gone to go and pick up his new ring on the day that Susan was shot.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Sad.
At the end of the Forensic Files episode, Dawn says, quote, people look at me like I'm a monster. And maybe I am. But I'm a monster filled with remorse. I let myself get manipulated by this man. So, a sad story all around. I think, you know, if it was truly his motivation to kill Susan because of this other trial, he could have just not taken his 33-month sentence and been done with it. But instead, he, you know, had somebody else do it for him and ended up dying in prison.
Yeah, I mean, tough position for Dawn to be in, but
yeah, from my personal take of it, I can absolutely see how Dawn could be manipulated. I mean, that's somebody that she's been in some sort of a relationship with for over 20 years, and there's a lot of stock to put into that, you know? And I think this relationship was pretty abusive anyway.
Yeah.
So
she definitely genuinely seemed remorseful, though.
Yeah, I agree. In the Forensic Files episode, and I think she's actually been on a couple other episodes of shows, but I'm not really sure. There was one on Discovery. So I checked those out. But that is all I have for you this week.
Check out the store.
Oh, yeah. Go check out ForensicMiles.com. We've got some really cool items.
Click on that little cart and fill it up. And thanks for listening.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Bye.